and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, brought to you by NintendoWorldReport.com. I'm your host, Mike Sklenz. Joining me this week are site director Stephen Windyman Rodriguez.
What's up, everybody?
And previews editor Mike Gaiman.
Ayo, it's Gaiman, man.
Sorry. Carl Castaneda is out this week. He's driving up to college for the first time in his life ever. He's going to join me here in beautiful Tallahassee, Florida. In
beautiful.
Just a couple days.
Huh.
That's right. We're toying with our format. We have a new format this week. So if things seem like they're out of place, well, just get used to it. So we're going to start out with our new business segment. Do you guys have any new business?
I do. I've been playing a lot of non-Nintendo games lately, and I'm kind of waiting for all the new Nintendo stuff to come in during the summer and later this year, so I'm kind of getting the other systems out of the way. Like, for 360, I know you've been playing this too, it's Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Yeah, I can't stop playing that.
Oh my god, it is so addicting, and I've been thinking about why it's so addicting too. It's just, I mean, people will just look at it and say, oh man, it's just Pac-Man. Well, the original Pac-Man didn't have you speed up like 5 times your original speed. The original Pac-Man, you couldn't link the power belts together to get, you know, insane scores off of ghosts. There wasn't a time limit. There wasn't this techno-hypnotic soundtrack, trancy thing. It's so competitive. It really
is. Yeah, it's really, it's very pure.
Yes, pure's a good word for it, because I think what Namco did, and they designed it deliberately like this, is that sometimes the pellets follow a certain pattern through a maze. They did that so you could learn, pattern memorization, what's the most efficient way to get through those patterns and still keep your power pellet chain going. So you can play like a pro without actually being a pro, and that's kind of why I like it.
But the real pros are all like topping 300,000 points now, so.
Like me.
I'm getting there. All right. So we're going to move into our community segment, starting with listener mail. Our first question is from Agazto. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Agazto.
Yeah.
Probably a WoW thing.
He asks, what are our takes on emulators for outdated systems, and is it considered okay to use an emulator for a system that's not in production anymore? Does the Virtual Console negate that? And he also says he loves the show even when he gets Rickrolled.
Well, let's see. Emulators. You know, people have been saying that, well, Nintendo's not making any more NES games or SNES games, so it's okay to download the ROM, download the emulator, right? Well, no. Virtual Console is the reason why Nintendo is so strict on their copyrights. They know they can still make money off all those old games, so they don't want anybody playing those old games unless they're paying for them. And now, obviously, Virtual Console is completely and crazily successful.
The point is that it's straight up not legal. It's copyright infringement. I mean, It is, regardless of whether or not the game is still, you know, available or the system is still being produced, it's still copyright infringement. Someone owns that intellectual property.
Yeah, someone owns it, and you can't just say, well, it's abandonware because the system's not out anymore. Well, no. People always buy rights to things that aren't around anymore with the hopes that they can reuse those rights to make some money off of whatever it is. Like old Acclaim games. What was the name of the company that bought all the rights? The name of the company, but they have all the rights to all of Acclaim's old games, and you know they could bring them back for Virtual Console. They could bring it back to the series for the next gen, which I hope they do. It's stuff like that you just can't download them legally, shadily perhaps, but not legally.
Once games start lapsing into the public domain, go all out. I don't care.
Yeah, and that takes like a lot longer than 15 or 20 years.
It's like 50, but
50 or 75 or something like that.
Yeah. It's a long time. So, you know, in like 30 years, feel free to play Super Mario Brothers, even though I'm sure there'll be some sort of rights renewal. I don't know. Copyright law is in desperate need of rewriting.
I think this guy was trying to get at, you know, what we thought personally, though. I think everybody realizes it's pretty illegal. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have downloaded ROMs. I haven't in, like, I don't know, years. Like, I haven't, but you know, I used to do it. I never justified it. I always hated those people who would do things like download ROMs or download music, you know, illegally, and then try and justify it. Just if you're gonna do it, you know, at least have the balls to come to grips with it and say that you are doing it illegally.
Yeah, and if you are doing it, you have to realize there are consequences if you are caught doing it. You can't just, you know, erase it from your hard drive and wipe your hands clean of it.
Make sure you low-level format your hard drive, kids. We sound like a damn public service announcement so far.
You know, it's not like we know how to do that stuff, right?
No.
Of course not. Hypothetical.
So, moving on through community, we're going to get on to this week's hot topic. The question this week was, do you use the Virtual Console? If you're a big Nintendo fan, maybe you have most of the games already, or maybe you're a barnacled ROM pirate, like our friend who asked the question, or maybe you don't even care about old games. The Virtual Console seems like a big success, but is it on your Wii? Tell us why it sucks or rocks.
So we've got some... We had a problem with the hot topic this week. We lost the thread in the forums to a mysterious anomaly. We don't know what happened. It just kind of disappeared.
Dang forum monster.
That's what it is. We have a forum monster.
So we had to redo the thread, and as a result, we kind of lost a lot of good topics. But everybody who reposted, we got some good ones out of that. And the first one we're going to feature here is from XXX. He listed a bunch of things, like this big old list. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm just going to glaze over the bad things. Some things that we can't do on Virtual Console. We can't remap buttons on controllers. We can't have save states in N64 games. We can't play stuff from the SD card. There's no bonus content in any of the old games. They're just the old games. And especially Mario Kart 64, he cites as that these games are lacking key features, like the ghost date in Mario Kart 64.
The Rumble
and everybody
Star
used
Fox.
That. Yeah, and like the Rumble Star Fox 2. Games still have slowdown. Obviously, people joke about the Wii being two GameCubes duct taped together, but obviously it should be powerful enough to handle.
Well, I think that's more of a function of the fact that they're going for a very pure emulation, maybe.
Well, too pure, man.
And 64 games do look better, though.
They do, but come on, 2D games should look a lot better, too. And his last sticky point was that the prices are a little too high. And I do agree with this because you can get PlayStation 1 games for $6.
I don't agree with this at all.
Well, no.
I really
but
can't.
Compared to the competition, yes.
I guess, but if you walk into a used game store, you're not going to see a single, like, unless you're looking for really crappy games, you're not going to see any NES games for, like, less than $5. And considering that you can buy it, you know, virtually for $5, and you don't have to deal with a finicky NES. You don't have to blow on the cartridge. You don't have to jiggle it.
Well, that's
it
part
just
of
works.
The fun.
It just works. I think $5 for an NES game, $8 for an SNES. Those are fair prices. Even $10 for an N64 game. With the N64 games they've been releasing, at least those games have all been worth $10.
Yeah, I think the prices are fair, but I still like. I agree with him. Compared to the competition, Sony is like $6 for PlayStation 1 game. Why aren't N64 games $6 if PlayStation 1 games are $6?
Well, that's certainly a good point, but I think that has more to do with the fact that Sony's prices are incredibly cheap than Nintendo's being incredibly expensive.
Because Sony's known for selling things cheaply.
Yeah. It's quite the shining piece of irony.
Let's see. And then XXX also had two good points. He said that it's very, very convenient. You just right there at your fingertips. Channels are quick to access, and it's just easy to use. I totally agree with that. You know, click, click, and you're playing. And then a lot of old games are fun. You know, it pays to make high-quality games that stand the test of time. That I agree with.
Yeah.
So he says he has eight games currently, and he'll be more careful with future purchases because it costs that up, and you're never really sure if you don't like a game or not, which is why you should read our Virtual Console Monday
yes.
feature.
Yes, well, speaking of...
what games we recommend.
Speaking of games, I just actually recently got Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and I don't know if I'm so sure I should have. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is frustratingly hard to control. Like, when you're going fast, everything is fine, but the second you have to do any sort of precision movement, the controls are shot to hell.
Well, that's why you have to go through the levels fast.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, I get that, but... And then all the levels are mazes, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, so what's the next
We have from Mr. Jack. He says he hasn't even touched the virtual console so far. It's not that he thinks it's bad. He just likes owning like the physical, you know, the physical version of the game. And you know,
so he likes the cartridge.
Yeah, right. Like the people who won't buy music off iTunes because you know they like the liner notes and all that stuff. And that's genuinely, that's a genuine, you know, genuine opinion there. It's not like he's being anal or anything.
I really think people like him are in the minority, though, because I owned all the old Nintendo systems, but none of them run anymore. And I just assume get them on something that I know is going to run. Mm-hmm. But
he'd say he wishes they would put some import games up on the Virtual Console so he could play them, like Doki Doki Panic or Sin and Punishment. But I don't think...
I still think they should just open the whole thing up, but...
No, that's like that's old... silly to just open the floodgates. It's much smarter on Nintendo's end to just release them one at a time or four at a time.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like the region locks. Oh. Like
yeah, they can't do that. There's so many rights issues to wade through that. That would be logistically impossible.
It wouldn't be that hard for first party games because you know they own the rights. Saying. Period.
Yeah, like why not let us buy each version of the original Super Mario Brothers if we wanted to? I mean, in that case, it's one company. I don't know.
But it's obviously a niche market, so who knows if it'll ever happen.
Maybe in like 10 years when the DMCA expires.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right,
let's not get into that.
Last one's.
Let's not get into that DMCA.
All right, last one is from that guy. And he says that, you know, younger gamers and less hardcore gamers shouldn't be expected to know what games are classics and what games stink. So the problem is at $5 or $10, it's too much money to gamble, basically, on what games you could guess at playing. Maybe some are good, and maybe some are bad. And all Nintendo is basically telling you is that here are little videos, and here are these PR canned descriptions of why this game is awesome.
And they only give you two screenshots, and that's what really bugs me. Is not that they give you two screenshots, is that you can't even click on them and zoom them to full screen. Which you should definitely be able to do. But they have put information on the very front page of the Wii Shop channel that points out that you can watch videos on Wii.com.
Yeah.
Which you could do through your Wii's internet channel.
Yeah, a lot of people have been begging for, you know, the 5-minute demo download version of things. And I don't know. There's the whole conspiracy theory side that people say that nobody would ever buy games. But I tend to think it's probably more of a bandwidth thing. I don't know.
No, like, and actually that guy goes on to say that the fix to this solution would just have like a little preview. Maybe sample, like just download the whole game. You can play it for like, you know, 10 or 20 minutes. I think 20 minutes is too long. 5 or 10 minutes probably better. And then after that, you have to lock the game and either buy it or you never come back to it again.
Yeah.
And you know, he even goes on to say that, you know, by Nintendo not doing this, Nintendo's purposely trying to cover up the quality of the titles available. I totally agree with that because they'd rather you. I mean, they put up Urban Champion, and if anybody knew about Urban Champion, they would not buy it, period. And yet, people are probably buying
Urban
Champion.
Sure, somebody must have. Apart from the guy who has to own everything on the virtual console, I'm sure there was someone who legitimately bought it thinking it might be fun, and then was assaulted.
It's very, very, very deceptive practices, I think, on virtual console. Yeah. You know, Xbox Live Arcade, Microsoft's got nothing to hide. It lets you download everything. And if you just want to download a demo, play it for like 5 minutes and never touch it again, they don't care. Because they know there will be people out there that download the demo, mm-hmm. play it, love it, and buy
the
game. The
Pac-Man.
Yes. I skipped the demo completely, by the way. I just bought it because I knew.
All right, well, if you guys want to be featured in next week's Hot Topic, just hop over to NintendoWorldReport.com, register for the forums, and post in the weekly thread, and you could be featured on Radio Free Nintendo, or you might even win a fabulous prize.
Ooh, it's fabulous.
We are going to go on a quick break, and when we come back, we will hit you with the news. All right, welcome back, and we are now moving on to the news. First up this week, we've moved our Virtual Console Mondays section over to the news segment because we just feel it fits better there. So this week on the Virtual Console, you can play World Sports Competition or Bloody Wolf, but the game that you're probably going to get if you get anything this week is NES Open Tournament Golf, which is a classic NES golf game that you may or may not have played, but if you owned an NES, you probably did.
Yeah, the timing of this is nice, too, because they just had that pretty popular U.S. Open golf tournament.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of that, Wii Sports features one of the holes from NES Open Tournament Golf.
Really? Yep. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can go back and, you know, play it. I don't remember which hole it is. I think it's the dog leg, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's the one with the, you know, you
can... little...
It's the par 5 with the little island. You can, like, you
yeah,
know,
that's
two-shot it to the green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hit it that way all the time. I always get eagles on the hole.
Yeah. next up, Disney is going hog wild in the video game world. They're ramping up their development. They're going to be spending 3 times as much on games in a couple years. They're going to, you know, ramp up to that. And just to prove it, they've gone ahead and announced a whole bunch of DS and Wii games.
Let me count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They just announced 8, 9.
More. Yeah.
They probably got 12, 15 games coming out for
now,
Wii and
DS. Now,
of
course, these games are pretty much almost entirely aimed at the tween market.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, High School Musical shows up a couple times on this list.
Hannah Montana. Ooh.
Yeah. If you watch the Disney Channel, you may be 13 and you may be extremely excited about these games. But you will be able to sing on the High School Musical game for the Wii.
And apparently Disney also has the Power Rangers license, which I did not know.
I did not either.
I used to watch Power Rangers. What was I thinking?
Wait, now I wonder, they're making so many more games, but it doesn't seem that they're really making that much more, I don't know how to put it, shovelware than they were before. So are these games going to get better because of the increased funding?
Well, Disney did say they also are going to start making original IPs on top of their endless licenses.
Yeah. Well, they've got Spectrobes. That's a start.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't mind if they make another Kingdom Hearts game.
That's not really Disney, though. Really,
yeah,
it's Square with Disney's property.
Yes, but it's still, technically, it is a Disney game.
But
Disney
it's a Square IP.
Disney does have involvement.
Yeah, but it's not their IP.
They've got that. I mean, they're aiming at the other market, I guess, more, because they had that pirate MMO game that they showed at last E3 that didn't look the greatest. And
yeah, I don't think that went anywhere.
They're still talking about it, and they're trying to make those other pirates games. I don't know. I didn't try any of them, but I heard they were interesting looking at the very least.
I've heard the new pirates game. I heard is decent, which is basically what you can say of a lot of games based on movies. They're decent. They're not great. They're okay. They work.
Yeah, people who go to see the movie had a good time. Think, hey, I can get the game and have a good time too, and that's really the primary market for those movie games.
That's a big market.
And you know, developers, publishers, they don't try to hide it.
yeah, they are. I mean, much like, you know, the summer blockbuster movie is designed to appeal to pretty much everybody, so is the video game.
Yep.
In addition to Disney, EA is really pumping a lot more Nintendo support than we've ever seen from them in recent years. They've got FIFA 08 coming out on the Wii with a whole bunch of special features. Steven, you know more about these than I do, so I'll let you
take
they've, over.
They've announced, besides they have Waggle Control, I'm not going to say Waggle Control, but you know, their quote-unquote free motion controls. Let's see, then they've also got the exclusive Ronaldinho, you know, famous football player if you're from Europe. The Ronaldinho Me. They released screenshots of that.
That thing really pisses me off because they use all sorts of features that we can't use when we make memes. So I don't think it should count. But.
Well, there's a reason for that. I can't say what that is until the embargo from EA's event that took place last week expires.
Oh, really?
Yes.
More will be revealed. But it is nice to see that the game does have Mii integration. Like, there are mini games where you play as your Mii.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, and that's just, you know, it's exciting that, you know, that is even happening.
It is a little strange though to see the hyper realism of like the standard screenshots versus the huge
versus
head
the
Mii
versions, And they're also putting out Boogie, which is sure to be, you know, a hot party game, which it seems that the Wii is becoming a big target for.
Yeah, they have a. They just announced the release dates for those. August 7th in North America and August 31st in Europe.
And it comes with a packed-in microphone, even though it's USB.
That's really interesting, though, because, like, doesn't that... We were just talking about Disney. Doesn't that High School Musical game come with a microphone, too?
Yeah, and it'll probably also be USB.
There's two third parties making microphone games that come out the same month. It's kind of interesting.
What seems to me is that this whole idea of... I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I'm going to talk about it again, that the fact that these microphones are USB is the most retarded thing ever. I mean, there's an expansion port on the bottom of the controller. Just put a microphone module there, snap it in, flip the remote upside down, and you've got a microphone.
Nintendo probably didn't give developers the SDK for the
controller extension,
or they didn't allow it.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it. There's no reason for microphone games to be coming out and for there not to be some sort of actual quality solution that uses the remote.
Yes, is. Nintendo wants to license it so they can make money off of it.
Well, right, but the fact that Nintendo
official accessory.
The fact that Nintendo doesn't have an official accessory ready, considering that there are two microphone games coming out in 1 month, is foolish then. I'm sure it would not take them that long to develop.
Nintendo would not have a microphone ready for the Wii unless they were making a game that required it. Simple as that.
Yeah, because that's who they are, basically.
It's the
same problem with... Guitar Hero on the Xbox 360, the controller's not wireless because Microsoft didn't give Red Octane the SDK for the controller because they want it proprietary.
Yep.
Anyway. I'm missing our biggest story of the week. The May NPD numbers are out, which are, if you're a video game nerd, this is ammunition for the forums, basically. The numbers are almost completely meaningless to you, because they really don't really mean anything to you, except that you can use them to yell at your friends who like the Xbox.
But, well, no, they could mean something. It's like people look at election results before they go vote, so they always go vote for the person that's leading, so they don't feel like their vote got thrown away.
Yeah, or it's industry analysis, but at the end of the day, to the gamer, it matters in of the fact that means if Nintendo's being successful, more games will come out, but that's pretty much the end of the line. It doesn't affect you immediately. But anyway, moving on, Nintendo again is like way on top. The DS sold 423,000 units, the Wii in the number two spot with 338, falling behind are the PlayStation Portable and PlayStation 2 at 221 and 187 respectively. PlayStation 3, big story here, continuing to outsell the Game Boy Advance by just a hair over 1,000 units. 81.6 versus 80,500. Sad, honestly. That's really sad.
The GameCube's still hanging tough, though. Still selling over 10K.
Yeah, I mean, just a hair over 10,000. It's not terrible for a system that pretty much died 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the Xbox fell off the charts a long time ago.
Yeah.
The GameCube's still there, because I guess... Well, why would people be buying it? I guess
it's a budget system. I mean, if you've got a very small amount of money and you want to play video games, it appeals to a completely different market now. Like when the PlayStation 2 came out and the PlayStation became very, very cheap, it appeals, it brings itself into a brand new market of what you'd call value gamers.
Yeah, but the Wii is kind of blowing that market wide open.
Yeah, but the value consumer is not going to see that, because even $250 is way too steep of an entry cost for them.
I don't know about way too steep.
Well, no, I mean, we're talking about lower income, groups who just flat out couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that's true. But if you consider GameCube's $99, memory cards, 20 games, 20 or 30. Yeah, I mean, I see what you're going with that, but it's really not that much more to $250. And with $250, you could do everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly... The Wii is... I'm not saying that the Wii is a bad deal. It's just that the GameCube has found it's a different market for itself. Yep. On the software end of the NPDs, Pokemon, again, tearing up the charts. Interestingly, Pokemon Diamond at the top of the charts with 330,000 units. Pokemon Pearl at number 4 with only 238, proving that diamonds are cooler than pearls. Because if you're a 12-year-old boy, diamonds are just slightly more manly than pearls.
But collectively, the Pokemon games are just wiping the floor with everything.
Yeah, over, you know, about a little, almost 500,000, or over 500,000 total. Mario Party 8 in number 2 with 314,000, proving once again that no matter how boring and repetitive Mario Party gets, it will always, always sell well. Which is why it continues on, and why there are 8 versions of it. Have you guys played Mario Party 8?
No.
I've played it. It's not very good.
It's not a very good party.
I mean, considering all the stuff that they could have done with, you know, a brand new control scheme, I thought that Mario Party 8 might be, you know, actually a fresh new twist on Mario Party, but it's really not that good. One of the boards is just a straight shot from the finish to the start to the finish. There's no turns or twists or anything. You just go straight, and whoever gets to the star first gets it.
So it's like a cribbage board.
I guess, yeah, you can say that. It's, yeah, it's...
and probably just as entertaining.
It's pretty dumb. Well, that's really everything for Nintendo. Well, Wii Play is continuing to hold on with $227,000 because a game for $10 with a remote is not that bad of a deal.
No, it's not. I got it, and I'm already tired with Wii Play. I got hooked on billiards.
See, that seems like it could be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I sunk all the balls in, like, 4 shots, and I got a platinum medal. And after that, I was like, okay, now what?
So, 360 is
fun with the...
Go ahead, Mike.
I've had some fun with the tank game on Wii Play. I don't know why. But...
Yeah, that game is a little more meatier, I guess, than everything else. Could say.
I haven't played it, so I couldn't tell you my opinion on it. Other than the fact that I don't think it's a bad deal.
No, and apparently 227,000 people didn't think so
in just 1 month. So, yeah.
In just 1 month.
Of course, you know, with the Wii selling the way it is, I'm sure anyone who wants to, there are a lot of people picking up additional controllers, and why wouldn't you pick this up if you needed a controller?
Yeah.
I actually see Wii Play in stores more often than I see extra controllers, so...
Maybe that's why people are buying it. Just edge out a $10 profit margin on all the controllers, really. I mean, we have no controllers, but, you know, we play, huh?
Yeah, get a free game with
kind
it.
Kind of. Now, if it came with a nunchuck, too, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. That'll wrap us up for the news this week. When we get back, we'll be talking about our feature topic, features that every game should have. All right, welcome back to Radio Free Nintendo. Our feature topic this week: what are features every game should have? Or maybe also additionally, features that maybe not every game should have, but that most games should have.
Yes. I think number one for me, frame rate. Games should have consistent frame rate. It doesn't have to be 60 frames a second. It can even be 20 frames a second, as long as that speed fits with the game, and as long as it's consistent the entire way through.
It's much better to have a game that is a rock solid 30 or 45 frames per second than trying to, you know, be the good developer and bump it up to 60 and have it jitter the whole way through.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't look as good.
And, you know, I think the term rock solid frame rate is used very poorly, because the only game that can lay claim to that description is F-Zero GX. I mean, like, have you seen that video on YouTube that they use an action replay that cranked the speed up to like 5,000 kilometers an hour?
Yeah.
Around the
And the game's running at like 120 frames per second.
Yeah, and the frame rate doesn't budge.
It's incredible. I know something that I like is online leaderboards. I know I'm not sure every game needs those, but I'd say pretty much most games could use online leaderboards.
Any game that's rooted in a tradition, you know, like obviously games where you get a score, racing games especially where you get a time, or puzzle games where you get a score, people will think, well, online leaderboards are only for people who aspire to be number one. Well, no, because on Xbox Live, they have like different filters. It's like you can just have the overall scoreboard. You can have the scoreboard just for that week. You can have the scoreboard amongst your friends.
That's the best, when you can compare just to your friends. So you might not be the best in the nation or the best in the world, but you could be the best in your circle of friends, and that feels really good.
And even if you don't have any friends who can like aspire, okay, maybe I want to get break the top 50,000, maybe I want to break the top 3,000, maybe you want to break top 100. You know, you can set a goal for yourself, and that drives you to play the game more and more. It adds a lot of replay value, and it should be really easy to do. It's just a little bit of code, probably. You just have set it up on your web server somewhere. And, Shinnen's DS Shooter, they had like a online leaderboards. They give you a password. You just put in your password.
That's kind of a pain. It's easier when it's automatic, though.
Yeah, but it's also exploit. Clearly. You can also cheat and cheat the scoreboards if you do it that way too. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. A lot of like the more fun flash games online, you always find out you get to the scoreboard and it's some guy who's talking in all elite, like, I hacked this, and I don't have a 360. But do they ever have like that problem with the 360 where people send
a guy on the top of the Pac-Man board right now with like 600,000 something points, and he's like astronomically ahead of the number two guy, and a lot of people think that he must have found some sort of exploit.
Yes, but it's probably an exploit within the limits of the game, because chances are on the 360, which is great about the 360, if it's on the scoreboard, it's probably legit. And if it's not, Microsoft will yank that sucker faster.
Yeah, I mean, he might have exploited the game, but he certainly didn't hack it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Another thing I like that, this is, I guess, more of a recent thing, but since I played the Halo 3 beta, I really like that you can record, a copy of your game and send it to your friends. And actually, Planet Puzzle League on the Nintendo DS does that as well.
So it's like replays then.
Yeah, you can save your replay and then send it to your friends and show them how freaking awesome you are. And I keep wishing Pac-Man had that, because it lets you watch your replay, but you can only watch it and you can't save it.
A replay of Pac-Man. It doesn't sound very exciting.
It's not until you, like...
play it.
Until you actually see it, when one of my... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but I thought about that too, but then I realized right away that doesn't work. Because if you do that, you can just copy the guy.
Suppose, but then you'd have to memorize it. And,
yes, but that's the point of Pac-Man anyway. You memorize the patterns.
Yeah, but there are people who have their Pac-Man replays up on YouTube, so
yeah,
we've got that. I know, Stephen. One thing you were talking about earlier was menus that like need to be really easy to navigate.
Yeah, there have been a lot of games where the developers are taking really nice steps. They're making the front end menus, the menu system. They look really nice and pretty. They really have their own style. But on the other hand, they're kind of sacrificing how easy and quick it is to navigate through them. Like I was talking about with you earlier, SSX Blur. They look all nice and pretty, but they're kind of random, and you can only control it with the pointer. And while it works, I'd rather just blast through the menus with the D-pad and the A button. I just want to get through the menus fast, and just get the gameplay.
I don't think SSX Blur's menus are that terrible, but I mean, there's certainly no, even if you're going to do pointer controls, there's no reason not to also include a D-pad option.
Yes, that's kind of what I'm going for, that you should give people all the options. Make them, if you just want to point and click, fine. If you just want to, bang, do that too. Have them in there.
Yeah. I don't like that about Super Paper Mario, is that the menus are only controllable with the D-pad and the buttons.
Yeah,
it seems that every other Nintendo game, you can just point at the screen, like, that's what I want to do.
I had the same thing, too. It was like, I was already used to using the pointer. I keep constantly trying to get to places in Super Paper Mario. It takes me 5 minutes to realize to use the D-pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth, I really like using the D-pad to do the menus. And that kind of reminds me that on the GameCube, Nintendo absolutely refused to let you navigate the menus with the D-pad. They'd only let you use the control stick. I hated that so much. It was so annoying. Seriously, like, you don't think about it now, but, games like, what's a game that made you do that? Well, I don't remember, but I'm kind of like, pressing all the way up on the stick, and I can't really do it rapidly because I have to do the full travel of the stick for the menu to go.
Well, I do the same thing, with Xbox games or any game really where I have the option of a D-pad or a joystick, I always use the D-pad for menus because the joystick, if you push a little too far to the left while you're pushing up, you go left instead of up, and left and up on the D-pad are very distinctive. You can't confuse one with the other or accidentally do one when you mean to do the other.
Yeah, but I actually like the stick on the 360 controller. I think it's the best one.
For entering text, I always use the D-pad.
I don't know. The D-pad on the 360 controller are kind of funky.
That's why I only use it for entering text.
I also got another one, subtitles for speech. It's kind of another I got two reasons for this one, really. One, I'm impatient, and I always don't want to listen to the voice acting of a game, so I just want to read what they say and move on to the next cutscene. But another thing is that sometimes, if the voice acting isn't as good, you might have a hard time making out what they say, because lip syncing isn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
So you really can't judge it by that. And plus, if you're deaf and you can't hear what they're saying, how do you know what the game's
going
on?
Even if you're not deaf, what if you're playing a game but your roommate is trying to sleep?
Yeah, and you want to like turn down the volume
or
your volume together.
Yeah. It's just it's a nice option to be able to do, and certainly any game with voice acting should support subtitles. Now, as far as other languages, there are a bunch of people out there who think that every game made in Japan should have a Japanese language option, but that's just silly, in my opinion. It just takes up too much disk space.
Yeah.
It's an elitist request, is what it is.
It is, and there's really no point. I mean, why keep it on there? There's more trouble, possibly, than there is worth to keeping it in there.
And I'd also really like all games to have any sort of online function. Like, every game on Xbox has some sort of online function, even if it's just leaderboards.
Yeah.
And that really ties the entire system's marketing philosophy together. It's something that Sony and Nintendo should be trying to emulate, but they're not. Well, Sony a little more than Nintendo, but Nintendo doesn't care.
The other thing that I really love is just like tons and tons of statistics. I mean, call me crazy, but Melee was like, that was the best part of Melee.
Going on and seeing, like, how long have I played this game?
Yeah.
It'll be nice if Brawl tells you, like, if it knows when you're using, like, the Wiimote controls and you're shaking it, it tells you how many calories you've burned in your lifetime of playing.
Yeah, I feel like if the developers can keep track of something, they should. I want a Wii channel that's just statistics too.
The stats channel.
you've got the stats of how long you've played each game, and that's pretty cool. But it'd be nice to have really ridiculously in-depth stats like Smash Brothers has.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. Because like when I first read, like way back before Wii came out, that it was gonna like keep track of all this, it got me really excited. But then like it's so half-assed the way they did it. Here's the games you played, and if you play for too long in one day, it just starts lumping everything into the other stuff category.
If you play too much stuff,
yeah,
that's funny. What I like is a good example, like Pokemon. Like as you hit like major plot points, it tells you, and next time you play, it tells you those major plot points, like the last four that you just hit. And it'd be nice if when you had something like that on the Wii, you hit those plot points and it just listed them on the what you've been playing, you know, message post. Like you played this game for this long and these major events occurred.
Yeah, and they kind of did that with Wii Sports because it like throws a post up there when you. When you get medals and everything, but still, as soon as like the days move on, it just falls away.
Yeah,
who's going to go back through their calendar to look stuff up?
I mean. Yeah, it's almost be nice if I probably sound like a fanboy here, but it'd be nice if every game had achievements like on the 360.
I have to say that those achievements are one of the things that make me think about a 360.
It's I didn't think about it much until I got one, but now I find myself like obsessively driven to get these arbitrary points. Like, I earned all the points in Pac-Man, and I played through all those different modes in Pac-Man over and over and over again, just perfecting them, not because I wanted to beat them, just to beat them, because I wanted to beat them for the points.
And it's actually, speaking of Pac-Man, in a Wile E. Coyote way, all of the other modes kind of train you for championship mode. So you might have found yourself getting better championship mode after you've done all the other modes.
Like that speed mode. Teaches you how to turn right and quickly.
Yeah, I got another thing that we should put in all games: customizable controls.
Yeah, that was mentioned in our hot topic this week. Like, if the classic controller has tons of buttons, I should be able to map them however I want.
Yes, like you played Time Splitters 2, right, on GameCube or any system for that matter.
Yeah,
you could map anything to anything. Literally. So if you wanted to strafe left with the A button, yeah, sure. If you wanted to jump with, like, down on the D-pad, go for it. Just that the point is, developers, they know how to craft their game. They probably know best what works with what. But there was always going to be some people out there who were like, well, maybe if I put shoot on this button and set up on this button, I like it that way better.
Right.
And there are some games, like, Mega Man collection on the GameCube. They had A and B reversed from how it was in the NES, and that just almost made the game worthless to a lot of people who would be interested in the first place. Yeah. You know, well, how, why is it so hard to not put customizable controls in there? Because
even,
most,
you know, what I hate is when a game will have a, like a control scheme, and you get used to that control scheme, and then that control scheme will be changed for the sequel, and there's no option to use the original scheme.
Yeah, that's another thing about it. And with all the multi-platform developing that that's going on, developers are already coding the game to like arbitrary button use anyway. It's like this button might be different on the GameCube, might be different on the PlayStation, might be different on the Xbox, but they code it in a way to where they just, you know, plop in the right button through this, like, you know, extra file. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can just take that another step. It can be, and like, so here's the list of controller setup, but if you want to change it, you know, it shouldn't be that much harder to implement. And that, I don't understand that. I really don't understand that at all. And especially on the Wii, when the, you know, buttons are kind of a rare commodity, you want to make use of them when you can.
Mm-hmm. I guess that'll, that'll wrap us up for this week's episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Be sure to send us listener mail to RFN at NintendoWorldReport.com. Visit the site, sign up for the forums, post in the hot topic. You could be featured on the podcast, win a prize. And for myself, Mike Splenz, and my compatriots, Mike Gammon and Stephen Windyman Rodriguez, we will see you again next week.
The end. That went swimmingly.